Hello and good morning. Are you amazed that, like I am, that we seem to have embedded ourselves within 2018 already? There seems to be no time for any of us to savor the change in the year or look back on the past year, 2017, to analyze and reflect on what we had done over these 12 months, and of course, repeat the time-honored mantra that says, I have no idea how that year had passed like a flash. Another common question is, what is your New Year resolution? My answer is, I just want to be good. Now, whether I was good or not good last year is for you, my dear listeners, to judge, together with the many others who would wish to judge me. Well, I can only do my best. About last year, 2017 that is, of course, I'm aware that I am addressing listeners who have gone through a myriad of experiences, perhaps not all of them pleasurable. The uncertainties are still the same, the endeavors are still exercising us, whatever we are doing, whether work, studies, or like me, a retirement with a slight difference. Many of us will be justified to think that life is hard. After all, we have the uncertainties of Brexit, the economy, the rising cost of living, and the job insecurity, to mention but a few sources for our anxiety. I do not wish to belittle these or other additional reasons that may give us a sleepless night or two. But having just returned from my usual migration over the winter, to the warmer clime of sunny Cairo, I can convey to you a glimpse of the sort of anxiety people over there are subjected to, especially the youth. Cairo is a city of contrast, as indeed many of the cities on the other side of the world are. There was a time when you could hardly find anything modern or really useful to buy, other than cheap fruit and vegetables. Prices of essential commodities were subsidized, and so the farmer can afford to throw the bread to the cattle, as it is cheaper than buying food stock. Petrol was so cheap, also heavily subsidized, and so people wouldn't care about how they use their car or other vehicles, and so on. Of course, that meant that with time the government became steadily more bankrupt, and the international financiers had to state their conditions before lending any money. So, away with subsidies, commodity prices are up, income stays the same, and the Egyptian pound is heavily devalued. To make the people happy, the government issued bonds to private investors accruing up to 20% interest per annum. And people flocked to the banks to exchange the dollars they had stashed under their mattresses to buy these bonds. Hooray! The government suddenly had a flood of US dollars and issued that cheap pound that doesn't cost much to print. And the people think they have an excellent deal. Of course, only a few of them realize that with severe devaluation and an inflation rate of at least 26%, they are actually getting a rotten deal, because the value of the individual saving will lose a minimum of 5% a year, but probably more. Well, prices are expected started to rise, and while you're here grumbling about the odd 3% rise in prices, think of the poor people there having to come to cope with 30% or so. Well, I said that earlier that Cairo is a city of contrasts. I mentioned some of the difficulties, but now I shall tell you another side of the story. It's about developments in some parts of inner Cairo, and more so outside the immediate area of traditional Cairo, in places that were nothing but arid desert. Magnificent housing developments cropped up, and fabulous, yes, I repeat, fabulous shopping malls with water features, shops, leisure facilities, and masses of areas to stroll, sit, have a meal or a drink, or inhaling at the traditional hubbly bubbly, or shisha as it's called there. There are also country clubs, five-star hotels, and even some government premises. How on earth do some people find the money and the time to go to these places? I have no idea. But they won't be there if they don't attract customers. A cup of coffee would cost about 30 Egyptian pounds. And although in sterling terms this is only equivalent to about £1.20, to them it's worth the whole of £30. How many people can afford that? And I'm talking of just a cup of coffee, let alone a cake or, horror of horrors, a meal. The only answer I can think of is that there are about 95 to 100 million population in Egypt. So if only 1% are reasonably well off, that would make 1 million people who have the sort of money to pursue such a lifestyle. The other 99 have to work for these 1% and just look forlornly at the coffee shops that they cannot afford. There is, however, one thing that sustains Egyptians about all else, and that is their sense of humor. Churning out jokes about anything is such an Egyptian speciality that the Arabic-speaking world around everywhere just have them passed around on their WhatsApp or other media. I suppose there must be a therapeutic value to laughing and maintaining a sense of humor. So perhaps I should end this talk by asking you to have a good laugh, at least today. Let it be a jovial and humorous Sunday. Better still, why not heed what Baha'u'llah tells us? Make your mornings preferable to your evenings, and the morrow better than yesterday. Goodbye.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, why not keep up to date with The Sound of Surrey by listening live at brooklandsradio.co.uk or through our free mobile app.